Chapter 1. A multitude of spirits dwell before the wheel, and each has a name, a chain with which to bind them. Three gods dwell behind the wheel, and none will know their names. Lore of the Threesome. Heat bit into Nayira's mouth, grinding down to her lungs, like trying to breathe through clay. Thirst clawed at her tongue, and she patted her empty water skin. What kept Darasaya? The wind whirled sand against her legs, resting on the saddle of her Masarax. The great snake's hunger vibrated against her chafed skin, where it met hard, shining scales. Fingers clenching on the saddle horn, she sent soothing thoughts to her mount. The massive neck swayed forward, arching high above the sand. As the body of the serpent rippled over the dune, its ilamar enhanced the beast's already prodigious strength. They would need to stop for the night soon. Would there be prey for the Masaraxi? There had not been the previous night. The red dunes of the desert shimmered in the afternoon sun. Eddies of wind played on the desolate landscape. Not even the desert nomads roamed here, in the heart of the Sidon Mishada. A cascade of sand whispering along scales made her turn to see her right-hand husband. His black Masarax looped long trails in the dunes, its bony neck frill fluttering in greeting. The kabbalad swathed Darasaya from head to toe, leaving only liquid black eyes visible through the veil. The traditional robe of a priest of the right-hand god, the vestment suited the desert, except for the colour. The rigours of their journey painted the garment in stains, its original sunshine hue a distant memory. Coming as close as the girths of the snakes allowed, he tossed a calabash bowl with a wooden lid to her. The rock aloes yielded little water. We will need to set dew traps soon. A gravelly burr marred his normally clear tenor voice. The hill is not far ahead. The words crawled out of her dust-dry mouth. He thinks we are close. She gulped down the pulp in the bowl, the bitter flesh bringing some relief to her sticky thirst. Let us hope there is water in this place he dreamed of. Dew traps only go so far, Darasaya said, and they continued deeper into the desert, following the dream of their left-hand husband. The golden disk of the sun drowned by slow increments in the bottomless cistern of the western horizon. The ruined stones of a temple rose in the slack between two dunes. Great basalt blocks lay tumbled about as though some giant child had scattered its toys. A single pillar remained standing, the wheel and the three carved in golden lines, marking the center of what would have been the floor of the nave. Tahil waited for them there, leaning against the pillar. His ebony skin gleamed wet and salty, sweat staining his blood-red silk loincloth, the only vestment of a priest of the left-hand god. Sand clung to tight black cornrow braids, a gleaming red mist in the setting sun. He had been here long enough to unsaddle his Masarax, as evidenced by its absence. Glass soa charms glittered on his wrist as he raised his arm to wave them in. It is the place of my dreamscape. The hill's basso voice rumbled as they dismounted. I think the well shaft still holds water. There is a hint of life in the air. Nayira freed her Masarax of saddle, bridle, and pack, slithering down its muscled flank. Or perhaps it does not, and that is why this temple is abandoned. Have a little faith, O priestess of the goddess, Tahil teased her, even as he held up a rope. I will find water, if one of you will be the anchor. Or you will find your death, Darasaya's dark eyes widened, pupils dilating. A desert pit with even the ghost of water might well have some lurking beast. If I do, you will share our beloved's bed alone on the ride back. Come. The hill slung the rope over his shoulder and led them across the broken floor of the temple. Here and there, carved into heavy basalt rock, sower images illustrated the prayers of the faithful, a cry to the gods. It brought Nayira comfort to see the familiar icons, echoing the designs of the glass charms dangling from her wrists. A black pit yawned in the place that had once been an altar. Here, the hill held out the end of his rope for Darasaya. Hold this. Darasaya turned his gaze to Nayira, who nodded her reluctant assent. The hill's skill at Habi and the strength of his Ilamar would protect him. Few things in the desert could kill him outright. She hoped. They needed more than dewtrap water. Worry beat a tattoo against her ribcage as the hill vanished below the lip. The shadow of the central pillar grew long before their left-hand husband reappeared. His teeth flashed in a white grin. The water is sweet, and there's plenty. He unslung his water skin from across his body. Relief as wide as the sky flooded through Nayira as she drank in greedy gulps. Thirst satisfied, she passed the skin to Darasaya. Here, in the privacy of their desert camp, he took off the veil and hood of the Kabalad, revealing his bronze skin and kissable lips. Black hair fell back in corkscrew coils as he tilted the skin over his face. Water bubbled in the corners of his mouth as he drank. A bucket could have filled while you were gone, Nayira turned back to the hill. Is it that deep? Did you find anything that explained your dreams?
It is a deep well. I only explored a little. I found a tunnel with what looked like a sower image carved on the wall, but I did not think it wise to enter on my own.
What looked like a sower image? The phrasing seemed odd to her.
It is the right style and colours, but I've never seen the icon. He held out his hands, palms up.
Nayira frowned at the scattered stones of the temple. Desert predators would shy away from the hunting Masuroksi. Their camp would be safe without a human presence. They could explore the tunnel and maybe learn what called Tahil here. It was a great risk leaving Magadla only on the word of her left-hand husband. The other exalted already schemed who would take her place if she died out here in the shifting sands. She would have prayed for guidance, but the goddess had been silent for many years now. She set the thought aside. There would be room in the cistern when they returned to the holy city to worry about politics. One of us will need to stay up here with the rope. The words tripped on her tongue as she said them, and the last utterance of the goddess came back to her.
If you would hear my voice again, remember this. I am the balancer. Weight and counterweight. Modesty and wantonness, creation and destruction, right hand and left hand. There must always be balance. There will come a time when you think you need only the one. If you would hear my voice, remember this. I am the balancer.
No. She corrected herself. We must find a way for all three of us to go down. The hill walked up to a massive basalt block, its black shadow mingling with the coming darkness.
This will do if we can flake off a piece large enough to cover the well, but small enough that we can get past. We can lay it over the top and tie the rope to it.
Basalt is a hard rock. Darasaya walked over to join him, running his hands over the smooth surface.
This will not flake, not unless we have a drill. I will check the other stones.
Should we wait for tomorrow to go down? The hill asked her as Darasaya walked among the fallen stones.
Will sunlight make a difference in an underground pit? Nayira's shoulders rippled under the thin straps of her blue kimono. Like the garments of her husband's, her vestments wore the length of their journey in red stains and small rips on her pleated skirt. Tell me again of your dream. The holy Mossorox called me to this place, and in its gaze I saw that the goddess's silence neared its end. Here we would receive guidance to reawaken to her grace. Hope tingled along Nayira's limbs. For 27 years the goddess had been silent. To return her voice to the people, any risk was worth taking. Here, Darasaya called to them. He had found a stone slab, a weathered lintel from long ago. Solid and thick as Nayira's waist, it lay heavy on their shoulders. Shifting sand under their sandals made walking hard, even with their Elamars flooding strength into corded muscles. Nayira's back cramped with agonized relief as they laid the stone over the well, leaving a thin gap. They might scrape some skin off, but they could squeeze through. Touching her Soa charms, she considered the setting sun. Let us eat and pray first, then we shall go down. The long rope coiled into the darkness, only the faint light of Tahil's torch calling Nayira from below. Heat fled from the desert with the setting sun, and she shivered. Hand over hand, she sank into the clammy darkness of the well. Her feet met stone, and she let go of the rope, stepping aside to make space for Darasaya. A small stream ran over her toes. Here is the upwelling. The hill held out the torch to show her the source of water bubbling slowly through a sandy patch onto the well floor. The stream runs into the passageway, and see the charm. Darasaya joined them at the entrance to the tunnel, the etching on the lintel drawing their fascinated regard. The gold of creation, the red of destruction, the balancing blue, the colors of Soa were all present and in the right proportion. And yet, Nayira had never seen such an image wrought in the canon. Two chains hung from either side of a horizontal blue bar. On the right chain hung a gold wheel, and on the left a red wheel. The icon lacked the gods themselves and their holy animals. Perhaps a sign that was never written? Darasaya traced the lines with a slender finger. Perhaps. Nayira took the torch from Tahil. Come. She led the way into the tunnel, water-smoothed stone slick underfoot. A fragrance lingered in the air, teasing her, calling her deeper into the earth. Flickering torchlight revealed cut stone forming the walls of the tunnel. They had not gone far when the passageway ended abruptly. The runoff water continued into a hole as thick as Nayira's arm. Three slits were carved into the rock at chest height, one straight, the other two curved on either side of it. It could be two hands cupping a third between them. The eye, Darasaya breathed reverently, moving to Nayira's right side. It did look like the sign of blessing. I think our hands go into it. Nayira touched a fingertip to the straight slit. I can see no other way to proceed. Shine the fire on it a little longer, Tahil grimaced. If I'm sticking my hand into an unknown hole, I want to be sure that both spider and scorpion have enough room in the cistern to leave. Weren't you the one who climbed down a hole without knowing what you would find? Nayira laughed at him as she brought the torch close to the slits. That is different, he shuddered. That isn't sticking my hand where some eight-legged thing could crawl over my fingers without warning. They waited for a ladle of water to pass. Finally, Tahil declared himself ready, and in concert they made the sign of the threesome. Nayira's hand straight, the two men each cupping a hand on either side of hers. Slowly, they slid the god's eye towards the gaps in the stone wall. For a droplet, nothing happened.
Bright light flooded the passage, the glare blinding them. Searing pain ripped into Nayira's hand like a rod thrust through her palm, and she screamed in agony. On either side, the men's voices joined hers, a chorus of suffering in the white radiance. Dark shapes flashed in the luminescence, the Soa signs of the gods drawn in black lines. The two-tailed lion, the life-giving honeybee, the poisonous Mosorox, the comet, the breath of the goddess, the dawn crown. Nayira hung suspended from her hand as her knees collapsed under her. Tormented tendons in her shoulders tore under the weight of her body. Soa signs danced in stark silhouettes about the grotto. The relief of unconsciousness beckoned. Stars sparkled in her vision, and cramping muscles in her back creaked. The light fled for the nooks and crannies, and the pain faded, her hand released. Nayira fell to her knees. Goddesses, tuts, that hurt! She cradled her hand. The ghost of torment lingered, despite a lack of visible injury. Look, Tahil's voice still held the echo of agony, but he managed to get to his feet. Some of the light remained behind. He pointed back the way they had come. A flower glowed in the water. Wrought of metal, its silver stem opened into a golden blossom shaped like a cup on a saucer. The foreign scent that had lured Nayira into the tunnel flooded her senses. The musky smell of the Adee cat mingled with the spicy aroma of cinnamon roasting over a fire, all wrapped around with a fresh smell of rains falling over the savannah. This scent did not know the harsh desert heat. Nerves bunched in her legs, slow steps creeping towards this unknown bloom. Her hand still ached with phantom pain as she lifted the artifact, grip cautious on the silver stem. Find me. The faint voice whispered through her mind, a memory drifting from a time before. The voice of the goddess. Hope rising in her breast, she clasped the flower between her palms. Where? She prayed out loud. Where, goddess, please? But the presence was gone. Beloved, Tahil dropped to his knees next to her as the light of the flower faded. Strong arms embraced her as a sob welled up from the empty place left by the goddess's presence. Darasaya's hands wrapped about her waist. The flower blurred as tears flowed, her shoulders shaking. 27 years and a dream for a flower? Her hands convulsed on the stem, sharp edges ripping small tears. Slick blood on her fingers brought calm. Nayira took a deep breath and answered Tahil. I heard the goddess, but she said only to find her. Let's get out of this hole and see what we have. Where is the torch? Darasaya asked. Wet and dead. Tahil helped Nayira stand. Come, I have my hand on the wall of the tunnel. They slipped a few times in the dark, even on the short walk back to the rope, picking up grazes on the stone. Nayira called on her Ilamar and sent a gentle stream of power to her hands, speeding the healing of the small cuts. She could not contemplate abrasions from climbing on top of abrasions from the flower. Silver moonlight beckoned her up and out. They had set a desert tent with its back to the great basalt rock that Tahil originally wanted to flake. Darasaya lit some charcoal and Nayira held up the metal flower to the flames. What does this mean? Darasaya stretched out a finger to touch it, pausing above the gilded petals, awe written on his face.
What are we supposed to do? What happened in the cavern? There is some writing in the most ancient dogma that speak of chambers of testing, Nayira mused, trying to remember. It is lore so old the language is barely understandable. If I remember right, there were places where the priests went to hear the will of the gods. But I don't understand what this flower means. I have never seen any like it. I think we must find where the real flower grows, Tahil spoke with his customary pragmatism, the words grounding Nayira. And perhaps there we will find the goddess again. Wherever that is, it is not on Kisangi, Nayira bit her lip in thought. At least not to my knowledge. You think we are called to quest? Tahil stared at the flower. At our age? Nayira grimaced. She'd never felt the call to go on a journey for the sake of her faith. What else can it be? What of the hub throne? Tahil asked. I'd have to step down, Nayira replied. I spent the favours of a lifetime to come here and have the throne waiting for our return. Does it matter? Darasaya's voice trembled, his eyes stretching wide. For the voice of the goddess to return to us, it would be worth it. But it did matter. Decades of politics would wither unreaped, the pinnacle of power lost to them. What do you say, Tahil? Nayira asked. He had once held a god's mandate and had yielded it. Yielded it so that she could take the hub throne. Does it matter to you? As long as I have my beloved, Tahil took her hand in his, and my husband, he smiled at Darasaya, I am content. But it is your position, your power to set down or no. Nayira considered that, cradling the flower in her hands. Hope lay heavy upon it. Or perhaps destiny lent it weight. Or maybe she read too much into it, and the weight came from the metal that shaped it. It had not been the politics of Magadla that had set her feet on the path of becoming a priestess. Looking at her husband's, she made her decision. The goddess calls. We shall answer.